We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They chat about topics like Abner's American dream, being a husband and a girl dad, and listen to the On the Hook with Abner Maris wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays. Join on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this week with the Week 4 leader of the FFPC main event, former guest of this show, former guest of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and a veteran of High Stakes Fantasy Football in general. It is Brian Pakrula. Brian, welcome back onto the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the biggest thing I think we'll get into the fantasy football, like the meat and potatoes of it shortly, but obviously the biggest thing we talk about 2020 is the coronavirus and how it's affecting fantasy football. And obviously, I think high-stakes owners have definitely been managing their teams a little bit differently this year when it comes to maybe not necessarily drafting, but waiver wire, blind bidding, setting lineups, everything like that. Brian, how has it affected the way that you've run your team so far this season?
Well, I think you really have to take an approach of looking at each game and basically making your players questionable. And I would say more so than any other year, it's real important to have good backups. In previous years, I would sometimes carry just one quarterback. And now you have to take an approach of, well, who's my backup quarterback and when are they playing? And can I have, if I can have a choice, can I take a player who's maybe going to know that they're going to be playing on Monday night? So I have somebody I can put in last minute that, if all of a sudden on Saturday they cancel the Sunday game, that I can turn to somebody. So redundancy is key. Carrying two kickers, maybe that's still not in question, but definitely having two solid QBs, maybe even three, might be worth it getting some points instead of none.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. It's funny because I was actually in a few dynasty leagues I'm in, I had Lamar Jackson as my lone quarterback. And I was cool with that. And I was like, you know, what are the chances that, you know, he contracts COVID or anything like that, you know, prior to a game. And then the Cam Newton thing scared me. And now I back Lamar Jackson up in all my leagues. You know, and thankfully it hasn't affected me yet. But, you know, if it does, I'll be good to go now. And it's not just, you know, COVID-19 we're talking about that's affecting these players and some of these quarterbacks. A serious injury affected one of the top quarterbacks in fantasy football this week. And that was Dak Prescott. Now you are included in these teams that get hurt by it, with your main event team having Prescott. The advantage that you have, I guess, is is now you get to deploy Aaron Rodgers in your lineups, and he looks awesome this year, certainly an MVP candidate. So it could certainly be worse for you. It's certainly worse for a lot of other teams. My question for you, Brian, is Andy Dalton's a quarterback there. How big of a hit to Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, all those pass catchers for Dallas, how big of a fantasy hit do they take with the move down from Prescott to Dalton?
I think Cooper and Lamb should remain very strong plays here. Go back and look at Dalton and his history. He's only 32 now, and he's proven to us, it's been a while, what, maybe 2016, 15, he had alpha. AJ Green, if you remember him. And, you know, AJ Green was late first round pick, second round pick for years under Dalton. So I think Cooper and Lamb can do very well. I don't see a huge drop off. I do see big drop offs in Gallup and Schultz. I know he hit Gallup down the line, on the game on Sunday, but, I'm worried about them if I own them. But I think they remain strong. And obviously Zeke is probably also a big winner here. Well, I guess you can't say any of them are winners because certainly the offense thinks a hit, but I think they rely on Zeke more and Dalton may check down a little bit more to him and out of the backfield.
Yeah. Tony Dungy was actually talking about that on Football Night in America on Sunday about how, you know, this wasn't necessarily a good thing for Dallas, but in the regard that they should understand now that this football team is going to go as far as that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott take him. I think they're going to get back to basics there, and it'll be a different look for Dallas going forward. You mentioned him briefly there, AJ Green. He leaves with another hamstring injury on Sunday, Brian. Is he cuttable now? I mean, I don't own him anywhere, so I don't have to make this decision, but I know some players will have to with the bye week gauntlet underway. Is AJ Green cuttable in high stakes leagues?
I think so. I didn't draft him in any of my leagues. He was going way too early. Yeah, he's cuttable. I think this goes back to the COVID conversation. You can't be holding guys that are injured, not playing well anyway. And, the future is in Cincinnati with Burrow and the young receivers and Higgins and Boyd. And so I would cut bait and make sure you got someone to play in case that your team doesn't play on Sunday or Monday.
Your tight end in this league, in the main event league that was leading the whole shebang after last week, Tyler Higbee. How concerned are you for him the remainder of the season after he gets whatever he went 2 for 12, and then Gerald Everett gets 4 balls for 90 yards? Is this just a one-off and Higbee's going to be okay, or is this cause for concern?
It is a cause for concern. I was high on him in the draft. He had amazing, I think it was last 6 weeks of 2019 season. It was unbelievable. Now, Everett was hurt during that time period, but I just thought Higbee had finally came out and became a dominant tight end one. So I went early on him in the draft, but I also got Noah Fant very quickly thereafter. And personally right now, if Fant can get back and get healthy, I'm starting Fant over him. And even I went and took Cameron Brate from Tampa with O.J. Howard going out just to give me some extra flexibility there. So I am concerned. I do think Higbee could come back. I think it may also not just be Gerald Everett. He's not getting tons of targets. I think he had 4 this past week, but he, of course, caught all 4. But I think it's also Goff tends to spread the ball around. So it's just not consistently getting enough targets to be dominant tight end one.
Going over to Tampa, you mentioned Cameron Brate. If you would have had your pick between Brate and Gronkowski, which one would you have picked up for the remainder of the season?
That's a good question. I think I would take Gronk, just knowing his pedigree. But I think Brate, I've always liked Brate personally, and I think he, although may not be the most athletic, he's very reliable. And I don't know if Gronk makes it through the season, so I think Brate could be the de facto tight end there at some point.
Yeah, and he was the guy, too, that Tampa gave all that money to, even after they drafted O.J. Howard. So, you know, the team loves him. The front office loves him as well.
Yeah.
D'Ernest Johnson, a guy, I'll be honest with you, I never heard about till after Nick Chubb went down. and he did not do much in his first full game without Chubb for Cleveland on Sunday. Do you think this is a guy, how likely is he going to be a decent flex option when you get hurt with bye week guys coming up? Is he a guy you'd look to deploy, or is it just going to be, look, I'm not starting Johnson unless Kareem Hunt's inactive?
So it is a guy that, this is one of the issues of not having preseason and extended training camp. It is something that I had at some point in time read about, that they were high on him in their training camp. And so when Chubb went down, you saw him come into that game versus Dallas. Now it was versus Dallas with a horrible, horrible defense, but he looked amazing out there. And this past week, he just didn't get a lot of opportunities. But when you saw him get a chance, he had like a 20 yard run or 25 yard run down the side. So it's like this kid's intensity. And what an amazing offensive line to run behind. But I do think the problem with Hunt is just so dynamic. And so if I have nobody to start or bye week fill in, if I got to start him as my last player, I would consider it. I did do that in one league this past week. It didn't turn out so great. But I'm not looking to start him over a consistent like wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 right now. Now Hunt did get gimpy in this game. They took him out for a few plays. So if Hunt goes down, I mean, you have yourself maybe a top 10 running back. So he's available in your league. Go get him. I definitely got him in my, wherever I could in my leagues. I spent a lot of money to get him.
Yeah, Cleveland it seems to be a running back paradise there right now. For, you know, if you are the guy, you are going to be a top 10, top 15 running back, each and every week, especially if, you know, somebody is hurt in that offense, which Chubb is right now. Speaking of the Browns, Austin Hooper has gotten more and more involved. His targets have gone up each and every week so far in the season. Is he becoming that tight end that Cleveland paid him to be? Or, Brian, should we still be a little skeptical about this guy's fantasy output?
It's a tough one as well. I think he is becoming that. I think he is a chain mover is what he is. He's the dump off. He's the guy's going to get 8 to 10 yards, and he's becoming the reliable security blanket for Baker. I think in conjunction with this, Landry, as you can see, who I've loved for years, used to be a target monster. I think he's still hurt with his hip, and he's just not getting as many targets. So I think that's helping Hooper out. And also you have a little bit of a more passing mentality with Hunt in the backfield than when you had Chubb. So I do think he's very solid moving forward. I have no problem deploying him as a tight end 1, tight end 2 moving forward.
How did you, just as long as we're talking Browns, let's talk about every Brown. Odell Beckham in your drafts this year, did you end up with him anywhere? What was sort of your outlook on him, and has it changed at all based on what you've seen in the first month of the season?
I did not get him. He also went too early for my liking. From most drafts, I remember seeing him in early second round. And for me, it was just too much inconsistencies. I love him as a player. I mean, unbelievable player, but just too inconsistent, and injuries also just in the back of my mind with him. But he's starting to come out a little bit, but I think the offense is too conservative, and Baker now has a lot of weapons. So he's going to continue spreading it around.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a guy that was drafted in the first round by Kansas City, and as a result, a lot of the satellites and football guys leagues we had going on after the NFL draft, we saw Edwards-Helaire go in the first round of a lot of drafts. Then he sort of backed off, into the second, third round. But when Damian Williams opted out of the season, Edwards-Helaire just became a bona fide first round pick in every draft. I mean, he never slipped to the second round. Scores in his first game, looks pretty good. But since then, kind of looked like a guy. You know, he hasn't looked special. And you would think that a guy with a first round pedigree in that Kansas City juggernaut of an offense, being the starting running back, I'd be putting up big time numbers, and he hasn't. Was it just a simple matter of FFPC players overrating him? Or is this guy about to turn it on and do a lot of good for whoever drafted him?
It's an interesting question. It depends. You know, FFPC has an amazing process where you draft after the Thursday night game. And it was interesting because I have 3 teams in the main event, FFPC, and my team that's the best, I had the 6th pick, and amazingly, Kamara dropped me because a team took Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the fourth pick ahead of me before, this is before the Thursday night game. So he was anticipating him being that good before the Thursday night game. After the Thursday night game, to me, it made sense to consider taking him very early. Otherwise, I would not have taken him that early. The reason being is you heard from in camp that they were going to talk about splitting. Darrell Williams was going to be the one who was going to split with him. Now, what you're seeing is that's not happening. But Helaire just hasn't necessarily turned it on. I think it's just a matter of time. I do think he's a good pick. I still wouldn't take him fourth overall, but I think late first round, beginning of second round makes total sense if we redo the draft today because his upside's huge. Amazing offense. He just had 8 targets in the game. And, from memory here, he got a touchdown that was called back. So he has a tremendous upside. It doesn't look like the number 2, number 3, Darwin Thompson are doing anything. Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson are doing anything to really take anything away from him. And, really recently, I think in New England, Bill Belichick figured out how to slow down KC a little bit. So I think right now KC's offense is just not putting out as much as they could. And I'm sure they're going to figure that out. And anytime you get an offense like that and you can get a running back behind that offense, I think his sky's the limit. So it's just a matter of time before he has that breakout game.
Yeah, I mean, talking about going in the late first round and how that would have been a good pick for you, a guy who did go late in the first round in most drafts this year was Kenyon Drake. And we had Bob O'Reilly. I got the who on the brain. We had Bob Riley on the lowdown last week, and he's convinced that Chase Edmonds is a league winner this year. And I've talked to some other high-stakes players that think that Edmonds will eventually be the guy to own in that backfield in Arizona at some point this season. How do you sort of feel about Drake and Edmonds? And, Brian, I have no idea if you own either of these guys in any of your teams, but how do you see that situation sort of evolving?
I agree. I was not a Drake fan. He actually surprised me last year when he came into Arizona, had those amazing games. And if there was a game, if you recall, there was a game where Drake was questionable and then ended up not playing him. Edmonds started, from memory, he had 3 touchdowns in that game. I agree. I think Edmonds is the play here. Will he overtake it and take the reins, or is it going to be a 50-50 split? That's probably what's going to happen. But I think definitely could be taken over. And again, training camp talk was they were high on Edmonds. So I think he's probably a super sleeper for the second half. Well, he may not be a sleeper anymore, but half the season, his arrow is pointing way up.
Yeah, and especially in full PPR leagues like the FFPC, you saw Drake get 2 catches this past week. Edmonds had like 5 for 50-something. Mm-hmm. So writing is on the wall, and it's not in pencil anymore. It's in pen. So I think that we're all taking notice of that for sure. Henry Ruggs returned from the injured list or the inactivity list, whatever you want to call it, to make 2 big plays on Sunday. 1 went for a long score. Those were his only touches, though, for the whole game. And I know they have Darren Waller there. They have Josh Jacobs. They have other weapons in Las Vegas. But how likely, Brian, is it that he sees more volume in the passing game the rest of the way to make him more of an attractive start? You know, this is not a guy that was just a speed guy that was drafted in the 3rd or 4th round of the draft. He was a first-round pick. He was the first receiver drafted. And you would think that more volume would accompany that. But is that the case?
It's pretty amazing, these receivers in this draft class. Absolutely amazing. I like more so, this is to me about Carr, and I think he's playing a high level right now, and I think he's been underrated. If you look at his last 2 years, he's had 4,000 yard seasons the last 2 years with, I don't think, a lot of weapons. So I think his arrow is also pointing way up. Will he get 7-8 catches a game? I do see it being more around a 5 or 6 catch game, but he can, 100 yards, and he can explode at any moment and take it to the house. So, great matchup, especially with bye weeks coming up. I would try to get my lineup wherever I can.
Okay, so the line I'm about to read, 10 catches for 152 yards and a touchdown. No, that wasn't Calvin Ridley. That wasn't Tyreek Hill. That wasn't Devontae Adams. That was Travis Fulgham, the breakout receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this wasn't really necessarily a one-off. The previous week, he caught 2 balls, 57 yards, and a touchdown as well. And then he comes up with a monster against Pittsburgh this past week. So is this a significant player going forward Brian, has he carved out enough of a role? Has he gotten the trust of Carson Wentz enough to make him roster worthy and maybe start worthy certain weeks? Or are you convinced that when DeSean Jackson's back, when Alshon Jeffrey's back, this guy's just going to go back to a bench role?
Who knows? Who knows with this? Who knows with this is to me like the New England backfield, running backfield. I just avoid this wide receiver core wherever I can. I mean, who's heard of this guy before this year? I mean, looking him up, he was a sixth round pick from Detroit. He was on the Packers. And I'm not a DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey fan for that matter. So I think those guys are just done. But I mean, was it Greg Ward a good pickup maybe 2 weeks ago? And I mean, who knows? And Ertz is not playing well. So who knows with Philly? I wouldn't spend a lot of money on it. I think it may just be right time. And who knows, next week he might have zero catches. So I would certainly avoid this wide receiver core.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too where it's like you could price enforce on the waiver wire this week a little bit sure. to get him. But at the same time, you know, roster spots are at a premium this year. You know, you talked about this earlier, so I don't know if it's necessarily a guy that you want to pick up if he's just going to clog your roster. But it's going to be interesting to see how much he does go for this week after that data is released. Another receiver who had a big time breakout in week 5 was Chase Claypool. He gets the 4 touchdowns, and that was probably aided a little bit by Diontae Johnson hurting his back, having to go out. Juju Smith-Schuster once again did not perform up to snuff, but the Pittsburgh pass offense, you know, while it's tough to kind of dial it in on a week to week basis, this looks like a great situation for Ben Roethlisberger. How do you assess those three receivers for the remainder of 2020 going forward between Claypool, Johnson, and Smith-Schuster, Brian?
I think that this definitely hinges on Big Ben's health. And so it's shown us that he hasn't made it through many seasons recently. So obviously their upside's huge, but if he gets hurt, then all these receivers go way down. And there's just so many weapons there. Don't forget you have James Washington, who I was huge on. I got him very late in most of my drafts. I got him on 17, 18, 19. So they just have a lot of weapons, and predicting who's going to have the big week is going to be tough. If I own Juju, I'm sticking with him every week. Diontae, the same thing. I think Claypool's game here opens eyes for the defenders, and it probably opens up more targets or more opportunities for Juju and Diontae, because now they have to cover this monster of a wide receiver 4. So well, who knows who they cover there, but a lot of upside, but it's going to be a little consistent. Also you got the good old AFC North and defensive battles coming up with Baltimore coming, and Cleveland looks to be making this a 3-way battle this year. So it's going to be tough to predict what Claypool is going to do moving forward. I doubt he's on many waiver wires out there. So I think that have him, and it's a bye week. Sure, give him a shot, but I don't know if he's going to repeat the performance.
Spoiler alert, and listeners of the show are used to this, but Brian and I are recording this prior to the waiver wire running for the FFPC this week. But Brian, if I can ask you who some of your targets are on the waiver wire, is there a big name out there that you're trying to get? Did you put some small bids on some guys? How are you handling the waiver wire heading into week 6?
So obviously the quarterback's going to be key for many people here. If you're a Dak Prescott owner like me, Dalton's going to definitely be probably one of the top QBs. I think Carr is probably sitting on a lot of waiver wires. Fitzmagic I had for a brief moment in time. He does well. He performs. Miami came out and it seemed like they may not have a long leash with him, but he's playing at a high level right now. There's deep quarterbacks. I think you can come back. Drew Locke, I was actually high on in the preseason, but losing Cortland Sutton was a big loss to his ability. Also no Fant right now, but he could have some value down the stretch as a QB2, or if you have a bye week where you need to throw him out there. So those are quarterbacks, I think, is probably more. Running backs, we obviously have Dalvin Cook. I don't think Madison will be on the waiver wires, but do you want to go deep into Boone? That's always a great ad for cheap. Wide receivers, Hardman probably is not available on many waiver wires, but maybe DeMarcus Robinson with him, with Sammy Watkins and KT being banged up. And Tyreek Hill obviously is amazing, but takes a lot of hits and he's a little guy. So you could have tremendous value there as well. And tight end, we talked about Braid already. I think that's probably one of the better tight end ads if he's available in your league.
Just real quick on tight ends in Houston, Jordan Akins was out with a concussion this week. Darren Fells does get into the end zone against Jacksonville. Are either one of these guys worth rostering going forward, or is it not worth your time?
I would generally stay away from the Houston tight ends. Too inconsistent. So I would generally stay away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm with you on that. It's going after either one of those guys reeks of desperation, which, by the way, some of my teams will be doing that because they are desperate right now. All right, Brian, certainly a pleasure having you on this week. Before I let you go, one last question. Week 6, a sleeper that needs to be in high stakes lineups that a lot of people may not deploy as a starter. And then a guy that you think is going to be started in a lot of spots that is more likely to bust and disappoint fantasy owners.
Well, I think we hit a couple of these guys, but my big sleeper pick is Hardman from KC. And like we talked about before, anytime you can get a player on a high scoring offense, he is going to split a little bit with DeMarcus Robinson for now, wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 options. So, but upside is huge. He'll take so much attention away. And Hardman, they make plays for it. They screen to him. He also returns kicks, so you could get lucky and get a bonus touchdown on a kick return. Another player that I don't know what Detroit's doing with Adrian Peterson. I was a huge Adrian Peterson for my entire fantasy career, but at some point in time, you got to look for the future, and I think you got to look at Swift. So I don't know if this is the week or maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks from now, but I think he at some point breaks out. And we talked about Edmonds as well. As far as a bust, I don't know. Rankings aren't really out in a lot of locations yet. I do subscribe to sorts, and they rank Ronald Jones as number 3 running back. Whoa. So, yeah, maybe I need to check my source. I think that's way high with Fournette coming back. Keyshawn Vaughn didn't perform very well, but Jones is struggling catching the ball, and we know that Tom Brady loves a check down. So I see him as a bust. I think it's a matter of time before Fournette overtakes that backfield if he gets healthy.
Brian, it was always a pleasure catching up with you. Congratulations, 4 weeks in. You were leading the main event. A lot of time to go. We'll see what happens the rest of the way and see if you're cashing that $500,000 grand prize at the end of the season. Good luck in your blind bidding this week. Good luck in week 6, and enjoy football, man. It's always good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much. Stay safe. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.